The passage of scripture that we read from 1 Thessalonians, if you've been to funerals that I have done, I read these verses at every funeral service I do, because it reminds us that that Jesus is going to come back, and those that have died before us are going to come back with him. And we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. It's talking about the next thing that I believe happens on God's calendar of events, the rapture. In verse 16, we read it a moment ago, the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." I believe he's going to shout to what he shouted at John, or told John, he in Revelation 4:1, when he's going to shout, "Come up hither." And he's going to call his children away from this world with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. I don't think it's just going to be a trumpet blowing. I think they'll be playing "Onward, Christian Soldiers," like we sang this morning. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." They need to rise first because they have 6 feet further to go as their bodies come up out of the graves. "And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. For all eternity. Tonight I have a real simple message. I want to tell you three things about Christ's coming, and then I want to tell you three things we need to do as we look forward to that coming. First of all, I would tell you tonight that his second coming is a sure coming. In that verse that we read, the Bible says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." In John 14, chapter 3, when Jesus was talking about the place that in heaven that he was preparing for us, he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." The angels, as they watched the disciples, as they looked toward heaven and saw Jesus ascend into heaven in Acts chapter 1, they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner." And there's hundreds of other verses in the Bible that talk about this same event. And those verses, none of them say might. None of those verses say maybe. None of those verses say probably. None of those verses say perhaps. None of those verses say hopefully. All of those verses, every single one of them, use strong Greek verbs like shall and will and for sure. And I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is coming back. It is a sure thing. You can bank on it. You can count on it. You can know for sure that he's coming back because he's promised it. We sang that song, "Coming Again, Coming Again." Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. But he is coming again. Now let me ask you tonight, if you still don't agree with me, if you don't believe it's a sure coming, why would this promise, why would this prophecy be any different from the other ones in the Bible? Why do we think that this one won't be kept when all the other things that were told us years before they happened, hundreds of years before they happened, when all the other things that the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ, why would this one promise be any different from the hundreds of other ones that were made before he was born, before he lived, before he died, before he was resurrected, before he ascended into heaven? Why would this one be any different than the hundreds of others that we've already seen fulfilled? Why would it be any different than that prophecy that is in Micah when the Bible says and tells us that he would be born in Bethlehem? Why would it be any different than the promises made in the book of Daniel that the wise men read and came to Israel looking for the king that was born, the king of the Jews that was born? I mean, they listened or read Daniel's prophecy. They counted the years and they came at just the right time because the Bible told them the time that Jesus would be born. Why would the promise that he's coming again be any different from the promise that he would be born of a virgin? not a young maiden, as some people have tried to change the Bible, but a woman that had not known man. Why would his second coming be any different than that promise? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that he would enter into Jerusalem riding a donkey? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that he would be betrayed by a friend or sold for 30 pieces of silver? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that he would stand as a lamb, silent before his accusers? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that he would be crucified with thieves? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that his hands and his feet would be pierced? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that the ones that crucified him would gamble for his cloak? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that not one bone in his body would be broken? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that his side would be pierced? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that he would be buried with the rich? Why would it be any different than the prophecy that he would come out of that tomb and be resurrected and come back to life after 3 days and three nights? There is no difference. Everything that the Bible tells us about Jesus that has already happened, that's already a fact of history, that we believe and why we're here tonight, why would it be any different than the promise and the prophecy that he's coming back again? It's not any different. He is coming again. It is a sure thing. You can count on it. You can bank on it. Not only is it a sure thing, it's a sudden thing. It's a sudden coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible says, "The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, the Bible says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." I used to think that "in the twinkling of an eye" talked about winking, but it's not that long. The twinkling of an eye is the microseconds that it takes for light to hit your eye and your eye to twinkle as that light hits your eye. I mean, it happens quickly. And Jesus says that's how it's going to happen. It's going to happen quickly. It's going to happen suddenly. Nobody knows when it will be. The angels don't know. And by the way, nobody here on earth knows. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus doesn't know himself. He told his disciples when they were talking about his second coming, he said, "Nobody knows. Nobody knows but the Father." And these screwballs that here on earth that have set dates as to when Jesus is coming back, and they get people to sell everything they have and buy white robes and go up to some tall mountain so they can be ready when he comes back, that's exactly what they are. They're a bunch of screwballs that don't know what the Bible says, that tell people lies. Nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. He doesn't know. The angels doesn't know. No man knows. But one of these days, the Father in heaven is going to turn to his right, where Jesus the Son sits at his right hand. And he's going to say, "Son, go get the kids. Go get the children. It's time to come home. Get the trumpet player ready. Get the choir ready. Get the archangels ready. Sound the trumpet. Call them home. Get them home. And the dead in Christ shall rise first." And if we're still alive at that point, then we'll be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so shall we ever dwell with the Lord. But it's going to be sudden. It's going to be quick. And then number three of 6 points, I might say, don't get excited, I'm not done. But number three, it's going to be a separating coming. It's a sure coming. It's going to be a sudden coming, but it'll also be a coming that will be marked by separation. When Jesus comes, the righteous are going to be separated from the unrighteous. The saved are going to be separated from the unsaved. Just like Jesus talked about the shepherd dividing his sheep from the goats. He said in Matthew, "And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." In Luke chapter 17, he said, "I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. I read those verses and I think to myself, how tragic that event is going to be for certain people. Husbands are going to be separated from wives. Parents are going to be separated from children. Brothers are going to be separated from brothers. Sisters are going to be separated from sisters. Friends are going to be separated from other friends. There's going to be graves open in the cemetery, but other graves will not be open because the person that's buried there doesn't know Christ as their Savior. It's going to be a time of separation when Jesus comes back. Now, based on those three things, there's three things that we need to do. Number one, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You need to understand that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. That penalty is to be separated from God forever, for all eternity. Separated from God now, separated from God for all eternity. You need to understand that Jesus paid the price of your sin. When he hung on Calvary, I talked about it Friday. And I didn't mention it this morning, but we had three precious people on Friday at Don and Ray's service raise their hand to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I was so happy when that happened. One of Don and Ray's nephews came up and told me, he said, "I think my aunt would be pleased. I think up in heaven she's rejoicing and dancing around that there were three people, a couple of her relatives, that on Friday morning raised their hand to get saved." But you need to realize tonight, if you're not saved, that on Calvary's cross, Jesus paid what you owe. He paid what I owed. He shed his blood. And when he hung on the cross, he suffered our hell for us. You see, the worst part about hell, I didn't mention it this morning, but the worst part about hell is the fact that God's not there. The worst part about hell is that Jesus is not there. And when Jesus hung on the cross, God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son, his only Son, who'd been together for all eternity, and they were separated. And in that time of separation, Jesus Christ paid what we owed for our sin. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to pray and you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior. There's a promise in the Bible that says if we come to him, he'll in no wise cast us out, which means he'll take everybody. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's enough room in heaven for every single person that comes to Jesus Christ to have a mansion. There's enough room in heaven for every boy and every girl and every teenager and every man and every woman that prays and asks Jesus to save them. There's enough room in heaven for them. And if you're not saved tonight, it's gonna be a separating coming between you and members of your family, unless you come to know Jesus Christ. And by the way, you need to do it now. Amen. You see, when Jesus comes, it is going to be sudden. You won't have time to go back in your mind and recall the gospel. You won't have time to go back and pray and ask Jesus to save you then. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't wait until that trumpet starts blowing, because it's going to be too late at that point. You're not going to have time to ask Jesus to save you. You got time now. The only time that we're guaranteed is the time that we have now. He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. He could come the next day. And it'll be a sudden coming. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved tonight. Number two, not only do we need to get saved, but to all the Christians that are here, we need to get busy telling other people about Jesus Christ. We need to get busy witnessing. We need to witness to those in our family that don't know Christ. We need to get busy those that we work with that don't know Christ. We need to tell them about Jesus. We need to get busy telling our neighbors. We need to get busy telling every person that we come across. Every single person has an eternal soul. Every single person is going to go to heaven or hell. Every single person needs to hear about Jesus Christ. God brings them across your path so that you can witness to them. Elizabeth talked about it in her testimony. There's not a more fun thing to do than tell people about Jesus Christ. There's not a more fun thing to do. You know, you won't find enjoyment in more enjoyment than doing any other thing in the Christian life than telling people how you got saved and how they can get saved the same way. And so we need to be busy telling people how to get ready for His coming. And then number three, we need to watch. We need to watch. In Mark chapter 13, the Bible says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening or at midnight, or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." You know what that verse means? What that verse means is that we ought to live our life every day, every hour, every minute, every second, with the reality that Jesus could come back now. Now. We ought to watch. We ought to watch. He could come back at any moment. Any moment. I've told you about my pastor, Brother Edgar Roberts. I surrendered to preach under his ministry. And his testimony, and I asked his wife about it one time. I said, "Does he really do that? I mean, when he gets up there and says that he does this, does he really?" And she says, "He does it every morning." He says, "I get up every morning. I go to a window that looks toward the eastern sky. I pull the shade. I look out. And I say, 'Lord Jesus, are you coming today? Are you coming today? If you come today, may you find me busy doing the things that you called me to do. If you come today, may you find me being in church if it's a church day. If you come today, may you find me telling somebody else about how to get ready for heaven. If you come today, help me to never go to a place that I'd be ashamed if you came and found me. Help me to never say a word or a sentence I'd be in the middle of that if you came, I'd be ashamed of being in the middle of that sentence. Help me to treat people with kindness, because if you come back and I'm treating somebody mean, I don't want you to find me like that." And every morning he'd get up and he'd pray a prayer like that to say, "Lord Jesus, are you coming today?" In Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, the last chapter of the Bible, one of the last verses, the Apostle John wrote this: "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus." He's coming. He's coming. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this promise. Thank you that we know it's a sure promise. It's going to happen, just like all the other things that you told us about our Savior came to pass. So this one will come as well. And it'll be suddenly. We cannot name the hour. We cannot name the day. Nobody can. You're going to come suddenly. And Father, it's going to be a separating coming. And I pray, Father, nobody in our church will have to suffer the separation of a child or a parent or a brother or a sister. That, Father, our families are saved, that they know Jesus Christ and they're ready. And I pray, Father, if they're not tonight, that you'd give us a burden, a zeal to go after them like we've never gone after them before, to tell them how we got saved, to tell them how Jesus can save them, to tell them how they can get their sins forgiven, get a home in heaven. And I pray, Father, that you would just burden our hearts for those that we know that are not ready, and we get busy telling people about Jesus Christ. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know him, that they'll heed the word of God. Follow that verse that says, "Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time," and they'll ask Jesus to save them at this very moment. And then, Father, again, as Christians, just speak to our heart tonight. Remind us of the responsibility to have that we have as ambassadors for our Savior to tell the world about the fact that Jesus saves. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, as you see fit. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.